call to order at 5:05. And we have everyone here. And do we have to accept the resignation officially?
Who?
Did she resign?
No.
You're not resigning, right? You're staying?
What?
You're not resigning, right? No. You're going to stay on the committee?
Well, I offered to resign.
It was a deathbed resignation, and they don't count.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
What? She offered to resign.
It was a deathbed resignation, and those don't count.
Yeah. So we can not accept your resignation.
Yes.
We all deny it.
Well, I just don't feel as though I've contributed, and I think that maybe I could replace, someone could replace me who is able to contribute more, and I would understand completely. Mm-hmm.
And we don't have 10 applications.
Yes, waiting, so no.
We want you to stay, Lois.
Yep.
I know, and I can't figure out why. But at any rate, enough about me.
Okay, the agenda. Is everyone okay with the agenda, or is there any additions to it?
I'll make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, thanks. Approval of the minutes from February 27th. It's submitted in the board packet. That was our working session on the grant package. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
From Josh.
Aye, second.
And from Steve. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on, a recap on the historical and architectural sites initial survey project. We had a deadline of last week Wednesday for a drop-off to the village hall for all of our survey, and everything that came in last week was delivered to Jennifer. Tracy had a package for me today from Jane.
Yeah.
Tim on the churches. So we can get that over to Jennifer today.
Yeah, I'll just put it in the mail tomorrow.
I'll let Jennifer know that.
Anything, do you?
No, I don't. Okay. We'll get that to Jennifer on the churches. I'll let her know it's coming.
Okay.
And so then next steps on that are for her to finish up whatever we didn't get to her. And then she'll come back with a draft in late May, early June for us to review. And then we'd, of course, invite the Historic Alloy Society to that reviewing of the draft survey. And then when it becomes official, we probably have to go before the board for that official adoption. And then Jennifer takes care of uploading all of the information to Wisconsin Historical Society database for all of the individual properties that the research has been done on. So that's all I have on that subject. Anyone want to add anything?
Yeah. I'm not a part of the commission, so I'm just this is Jim O'Rourke. And I'm just a member of the Historic Society. And I did some of the research on the West Sunlight Park area, which is Sunset Park, where Vince Lombardi lived. And then I also looked at the Curly Lambeau area, Miramar. And from the Historic Society aspect, the Lambeau and the Lombardi area matches up pretty much identically with the Heritage Packer Trail, and that's a very interesting coincidence. So I think that that's going to be our strong point from the Historic Society. The concern that I had in looking at that was that the area in the Sunset Park area, less than half of the homes met the criteria from the National Park Service for inclusion as a historic district. So they just weren't old enough. that was my main concern with that, and I thought that there were other subdivisions that were much stronger candidates for historic districts.
Okay.
Particularly, I'd like to see the Camp Smith area looked at one more time, just reviewed by Jennifer, and also the other part of Sunlight Park. So those are the two areas that are worth asking her to take a second look at.
Which areas again, Jim?
Camp Smith, which would be private claim number 18 and 19, which would be the Mission School and Heritage Hill.
Okay.
And then also Sunlight Park, which was one of the original, what's called curvilinear subdivisions, right after the Chicago World's Fair. That was a completely brand new concept. And that's why we became one of the best suburbs in the state, was that subdivision.
Okay. Now, your Sunlight research,
yes.
Did she already receive that from you?
No, I have it here. And so I wanted to talk with you here about that. And then also I was concerned that we won't get proper credit for the hours that were worked. For example, Lois worked and everybody worked a lot of hours. And the way that DePere gets their grants is that they get matching grants. So they just did a $70,000 grant, of which Jennifer did $35,000 worth of work, and they got $35,000 worth of credit for their own book work from their volunteers. So I would like to see our volunteer work credited back, because originally the way that these studies were designed were there was supposed to be a federal portion and a local match, but the local match never materialized, so the federal government just took over the whole thing. But originally when these studies were designed, there was supposed to be local participation accounting for 50% of the work. And that's kind of why we volunteered to do that, even though it wasn't required. So I would just like to have it documented, like Lois and Jane and everybody else who did the work and contributed. That's grunt legwork that the contractor didn't have to do, so that they can go ahead and do the really heavy lifting, the really hard stuff, such as looking at property records at the city hall and that kind of stuff. So just getting credit for it. When we apply for additional grants and there's going to be a matching component of it, we would like to have a track record of contributing matching work, in-kind work.
That's hard for Jennifer to do, though, if it's not turned into her.
Right. So
that was due last week on the 20th. So we've got to get that into her.
Yeah. Okay.
You're just asking for the number of hours that we
spent on it? Well, yeah. And so there needs to be a mechanism for documenting that, and whether... You know, for example, there was no training budget and no budget for copying and that type of thing. And those are the types of things, in reading the instructions both from the state and from the National Park Service, they said you have to be very careful in working with volunteers, and you have to allow for training, and you have to allow budgeting for that. And they can be, to quote the state, is that it can be very time-consuming and not worth very much, not worth the effort to include volunteers. So that's why I thought that it was very important that we document, even if we did 100 hours and we said that, and we only got 30 hours worth of credit for it, that's really what we'd like to see, is some sort of mechanism for documenting Lois's work and Jane's work and Rita's work and, whoever did any work on it. We did some work here, and that we can always do a whole lot better next time, but this was, the first time out of the chute.
Yeah, I didn't see that documentation in the grant that I applied for, so I can definitely check into it.
I'll point it out.
Yeah,
it's in their manual.
Got to get the work into her for it to get credit for it.
Just so I understand what you're asking, Jim, you're just wanting the documentation for future, because obviously the grant, there is no grant money or any money to come back to the community.
Correct.
So it's really something internal that if you guys want to get that information together and keep that, so you have it, and if you apply in the future, then you have kind of a track record. But There's nothing in the grant that requires
right.
any any volunteer work or required any of that. That was
correct.
Something that we decided to do to help make the project that much better. And
correct.
So I think it's just something that you as a group, you know, between the Historic Society and the Historic Preservation, if you guys want to keep track of that, that's fine.
But it
and
needs
keep
to
it
be
internally.
Documented as having some sort of value, and whether that value is $1 or, you know, $1,000, there needs to be some sort of documentation that there was work done and that there was value, and it was stressful for people.
Well, and I think if you can just document it, I'll get the numbers and how many times people put into it and then list it, and then a value can be placed. I'm sure that there is value that you, or they probably have something set up through the grant programs that volunteer work has value such and such or whatever. Or if you're doing this, it has this value. So I think you guys just need to get the information together if you want to do that, and then you can document it in any manner that you would like to document it, because there's no requirements from the state
right.
that you have to do that.
So just for example, I think that the appropriate method of documenting it would be the same way that Jennifer did it with DePeer. And that came up, there was just a meeting last week at DePeer City Hall, and it was, you know, that type of thing was brought up.
Well,
that's where it was cited.
So when I was doing going through the city directories at the library, I went to the library, I think, 8 times, between 2 and 3 hours each time, and then a lot of hours sorting through the information at home, so maybe 22, 24 hours.
Right.
Is that enough to say I had 22 to 24 hours,
yeah.
or do I need to say on this day?
No. Well, whatever you have, if you have 20 hours or 25 hours, that gives people a general idea so that when we want to do an additional project of some kind, we can say this is what worked, and frankly, you know, 80% of it was wasted because we were learning how to do it, right? But 20% was really good.
Okay.
So, but just having some sort of way to document all the work that was done to show that we gave them, you know, they weren't starting from scratch and that they had some work done behind them.
So, Tracy, is that something we can email you, however many hours we spent on, and then you could just email
sure.
Okay.
Yep. Then I can get it all together and just do one document.
And then I'll bring that up at the Historic Society meeting on Thursday to get everybody's
that
numbers.
That would be great.
Okay.
That would be great. So, yeah, any of you guys, too, just get me anything you put into it. I'll just add them up and keep a document, and we'll have it in the grant file.
Okay.
And then you can always pull it out of there if you need it for something else. So.
Any more questions on the grant?
One of the things that I noticed, a lot of our very good homes were rejected because they had new siding put on them and that type of thing. And I have a picture of the first brick house ever built in Wisconsin, which was then re-sided with stucco, and that was over at Sunlight Park, over at the Scott Building. So this was Judge Doty's house, so it was originally a brick house, and then the exterior was, the brick wasn't well done, so they stuccoed it to preserve it. So I think that sets a precedent that new siding is consistent with our history, and that moving forward and preserving the housing stock with new siding is actually part of our history, and that shouldn't exclude properties just because it has the siding on it. But this house was built in 1828, and then it was re-sided, and here's a picture of it.
What year was it re-sided?
Probably 1838, about 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So they stuccoed it because they didn't have the same quality brick that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, you know, and the brick was coming apart. So he stuccoed it, and then that was eventually, you know, he's eventually torn down. But it's right where the Scott Building was.
How did you happen to find that?
People did a lot of research in the 1930s, and they saved the photographs. During the Depression, the federal government paid for people to do historical research. So they did all sorts of historical research. So this was actually on a postcard.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of documentation about Alloway floating around out there. And it was all done in the 1930s, just before World War II, when we were getting through the Depression. That was one of the jobs that people had. And that's all I have.
Okay, moving on to the discussion on the wording for the guardhouse plaque at Heritage Hill. We designated that building as a local historic landmark last year, and we still need to come up with wording for the plaque, from my understanding. So that was one of our agenda items that we had put on hold before the grant project took over the winter. So
what I would recommend, I know when we talked to Charles about it, the museum director, I guess, I don't know if that's his correct title, but executive director, I'm sorry. He didn't have necessarily a problem with the plaque, but he wanted to be involved in the wording for it and how it would look and how it would be placed just because of, you know, it being at Heritage Hill. So that would be my recommendation, is maybe one person or two people off of this committee could maybe work with Charles and come up with, you know, wording for it and the plaque and the, you know, where, when it should go up. Now, I know they had a lot of work to do on that building, so I don't even know if it's
they
out there.
They had a capital campaign that they were starting.
Okay.
So it was going to be several years
yeah,
before
so
it was.
So I don't know if the plaque, you know, obviously we don't want to put a plaque up where there's no building there. So
yeah.
I guess that would be my take on it, that we would talk to Charles, maybe find out his timeline, when they think it would be up. And if it's 3 years from now, then I think we just wait on it, because to put a plaque up when there's nothing there makes no sense at all. And then work with him on, you know, wording for it. I mean, they've done a lot of research when they came through
mm-hmm.
and did it. They've, you know, did this whole verification report
mm-hmm.
and everything else, so there's a lot of good information out there on it. But that would be my suggestion on it, to go that route and see, you know, how he wants to handle it or whatever. So, but this, I don't know if anyone wants to look at this again. This is just what all came in when we first approved it in April of last year. It's all the information on the building. So
somebody want to work with Charles?
I can contact him.
You want to?
Sure.
Barbara? Okay. Thanks, Barb.
And then just maybe whatever you find, Barb, if you want to let me know, and we can, if we need to put on the next agenda or whatever, just update on it, we can do that.
Okay. And then our next discussion point is on the prison wall mural.
I just want to take one of these and pass that around. This, as you know, I think I mentioned at our last meeting, came from the Plan Commission. They were talking about it and had this great idea to look at a mural, and then we talked to the prison or the Secretary of Corrections. He doesn't necessarily have a problem with us doing that, but it needs to be look good and proper and all that stuff. So what he suggested also, that we work with the Wisconsin State Historic Society as we continue on the process and make sure they're okay with it. The gentleman that I have the email from is Adam from the University of Green Bay. He's a teacher out there, and he is also on Plan Commission. And he is very excited about the project as well, and just said that he feels that he could get some of the students and the teachers from the art department and some of the historians out there to help with the project if that's something that we would like them to become involved in. So that's just his email saying that, you know, that's what his thoughts are on it, and that he would be happy to help and get in touch with someone out there that could help on it. So that's really where it sits. There's been the warden doesn't have an issue with it. This State of Department of Correction doesn't have an issue with it. There is some interest from UWGB helping out with it. And, of course, Plan Commission is all wild about it. So so you do have some. So that's kind of about the background on what we've done to date. And I know it's a huge project. And
my only concern is that I don't think it's a quick enough project for a UWGB class to
take and it may
on.
Be a long-term thing.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe there's a teacher out there that, you know, would take it on and work with multiple classes over, because you're right, I think it'll take many years.
Yeah.
And
I don't think the class could.
Yes. No. No. Even. To, yes. And maybe the class the first year, the fall of whatever, they're responsible for working with the corrections, working with you guys, and figuring out what we can do and what we can't do. And then the next, they don't really do anything, but then the next year,
mm-hmm.
the next class or the next semester or whatever. So it sounds like, and they have some historians out there, he said, that would probably be very interested in helping out with some of the research and
at GB.
Yeah, and we, you know, they have a lot of buildings in there that are already on the National Registry, and there's a lot of information we have on those already through our
book. That?
This is Adam Perello. He's a teacher out at UWGB, and he's on our plan commission.
Oh, so that's the relation.
Yeah, that's the relation, yeah. He's, right. I forget what he teaches. I know he's in planning and zoning, I think.
Urban something.
Yes. Yeah.
Studies. Or
yeah. So that's his interest on that end and being involved with plan commission. So that's all dropped on here. And if you guys don't want to get involved, that's fine, but then we just move it forward, or if we want to go ahead. I mean, the village board seems like they're interested in it.
We have a choice?
I don't know. It kind of falls under your, with the historic end of it, but...
What's the plan for the mural? Is it going to run along Webster? Is it...
You know,
nothing's really cashed out.
Nothing's been determined yet, like where or how or any of that. It's really an open slate, I guess, a clean slate. So, and it's huge. I mean, that's one of the things everyone says. It's a huge mural site, and it is. I mean, you look at that wall, it's just gargantuan.
Barb had some great brochures from the
city of Ashland.
Another city.
On the sides of their old buildings, they have some murals, and it depicts different historical events in the community. I'm sure the prison wall's a lot larger than any of the buildings that they have.
Yeah.
Just different ideas.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge...
Very nice, really.
Does anybody know what condition those walls are in?
Not good.
They're very bumpy, too.
They're really bumpy, and I know they've had a lot of problems in the past. That's why they replastered them. I kind of have my doubts on the project myself. That it would work? That it's feasible and it would work.
Isn't there some way that someone could go out there and evaluate the whether this is something that's workable or if the walls are in that deteriorated condition, it may not be possible. Who do you call to give an evaluation before you step into
I think by the time they'd get it done, the first part they would do would be deteriorate it.
So you are not in favor of this?
No.
It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. They start at one end and they go through and they never stop. They always paint.
Well,
the
I guess that
they're always painting the Golden Gate Bridge.
I mean, right now it just kind of blends in. And my opinion. I brought it up to a couple of people and they just shook their heads. So.
Well, it would be sad to get so far in with the project and then find out it wasn't feasible.
Well, yeah, and I think you're right. That's probably the first step to see if it is even feasible. Or
and I don't know who you'd call to. Who do you go to for something
right, a feasibility
like
grant?
You know,
first.
It's different when you take like a small building like the old Ford's Bakery in the pier, where it's on one little part, it's feasible. I think you'd start getting kids there and doing graffiti on it.
Oh, dear.
And you start, you know, you'd open a can
once
of
you
worms.
Call attention to it,
yeah.
If it turned out to be a disaster, it would be very obvious.
True. And it's so big and so high and so rough.
Now, we have talked about that at the Historical Society, and we thought that, you know, one of the pictures you don't want is a guy peering out of the wind.
Well, and that's what the... Yeah. That's what
I guess there has to be so many other projects that we could put our energy on that might be more workable.
Well, it's like the chapel in the cemetery. Yeah. You know, to me, that would be like, you know... Something like that.
That's a much better one to cut your teeth on because it's very limited. You can start. You have a start date, a finish date.
you have something nice when you're all done, and then people can visit it. People really can't visit the wall, but the wall, everybody sees it when you come driving up off of Webster Avenue.
If it wasn't done right, it would be an eyesore.
It would be an eyesore, exactly.
To do it, maybe start small scale, one very small corner.
Yeah.
And see how it went a little bit first.
Yeah.
I guess I don't see it being very practical.
Because wasn't it about, was it maybe, I don't know how time flies though, but maybe like 15 years ago when they sprayed all those walls and they textured them? Wasn't it about that time? 15 years ago?
Well, that would have been 1998, 15 years ago.
They could be made smooth. I mean, I can see that the mural would be a problem.
Well, the walls were like, the plaster was popping off, so they kind of redid all the walls again. And I mean, it's not going to, you know, at
when
a certain
you
point, it's going to start.
You're mending that all the time.
Right, and those walls aren't in the best of shape structurally. I mean, they're really old.
Don't tell the inmates that.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like there really isn't much of an interest on this committee, and that's fine. You can just say that it's not a project that you want to take on. You don't think it's there's other things
there
that you would rather.
There are other projects that might be more workable.
More priority.
Yeah.
Put it on the list, but it's lower on the list.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, that's maybe if you guys want to do a motion in that regard, then at least I have something that I can. And then
personally, I like the idea, but it's not functional.
Well, because we question whether the project is workable because of the condition of the walls, we therefore feel at this time we're not going to undertake it.
And if that's your motion?
Well, I don't know if that's worded as it should be. But that's the way I feel about it.
I think that's a fine motion.
And if it's worded like that, I'll second it.
Okay.
Because of the unknown condition of the standing wall as it is today, or as we understand it to be.
All in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Opposed?
Wait, what are we doing?
Voting on that motion?
The feeble one that I just voiced.
Well, I think it's fine. I just keep thinking about one of my friends that used to work at the reformatory for years, Ken Matthijs, what he say about the walls are caving in.
Okay, so a motion was carried with everybody.
You have to go and check out the walls over there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? Or you already have.
Anybody want to climb it?
No.
Okay, moving on to recruitment of new member and new chairperson.
What about Sherry, who stepped in and contributed so nicely? She's a lovely person.
Who? Sherry from Historic Alloy Society?
Mm-hmm.
She has resigned from the Historic Alloy
Society. Oh, she has?
The board of directors, right. She said.
Would you like a new one?
I think that she was trying to lessen her load.
There's
so
a reason
she'd be interested.
Well,
I
could ask her.
That was a lovely show. She worked at the polls with us, and she was a very, very good worker, very nice person.
We have Historic Alloy Society tomorrow night. I can ask her, but I believe, I don't even know if she'll show up now that she's resigned from the board, but she said that she was trying to lessen her load. So.
I can understand that.
So yeah, if anybody knows of anybody that is interested,
I'll kind of just think of somebody that could be a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, if they're interested, if they have more questions, they can either call me or talk to Bobby about it, and there's an application and information right online that they can just pull the application off of that. And
you know, most people that are interested in what we're involved in are already a part of your organization.
Right.
And to it's going to be hard to come up with a brand new person that hasn't already voiced an interest in it.
Well, Jim, you attend maybe half of our meetings.
Oh.
Would you be interested?
I'm a realtor, and it's kind of a conflict. I always represent. I represent owners of property who might want to have their property torn down.
Oh, okay.
So, I often represent the other side.
Well, get the word out. I mean, we announce it at every village board meeting, and you know, try to get it out that way, and it's on the website. But if you hear of anybody, just send them my way.
There has to be some people that have been here a while, but in Alloway that aren't.
Yeah. And then for the chairperson, Bobby can only serve 2 terms in a row, so her term ends after the next meeting, so it expires on April 30th. So you guys just keep it in your head. Somebody will have to step up as chairperson. She can come back again and be chair if she wants in the future, but she can't go more than 2 terms.
She's a hard act to follow.
In a row. I know she is, but and you guys, someone else can be a hard act to follow too. No? So just so it's not all of a sudden we get to the next meeting and everyone's going, I don't know. So think about it. who could do it or who would want to do it or whatever, if there's someone that can step up. So.
Do we have a volunteer?
Don't all yell at once.
Yeah.
If nobody else would like to, I would consider.
I think that would be beautiful.
I think that would be a perfect
job.
Are you sure?
You.
I don't want to take the job away from somebody else.
I need you.
Came to mind, but I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah. Well, good. So keep that in mind, and then you won't have to have the election until the next meeting.
Well,
so.
Are you going to campaign?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Bribery will get you everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe somehow we as a committee have to make ourselves known within the community that we prevail, because most people aren't aware of this committee or what it does. Because when I mentioned that I was on it, you know, it was like another language. Where people have heard of the Historical Society because
right.
they have their open house with their homes. They have somehow the word, and I mean this lovingly, the word for your organization has spread. But I don't think that our committee here within the village, as a village committee, has become known to the average resident of Alloway.
Well, the Plan Commission brought up at their February meeting of having some type of like a fair.
Yeah.
And then having all the different village committees be available to answer questions or to explain what they do.
Because when the Historical Society didn't do it last year, and apparently they weren't able to, but the year before they had the open houses of homes, and that was one of the most successful ways in order to get the general public to be aware of them. and there's been nothing. I don't know how you get the word out of what has really transpired here. There's not a community paper that people get.
There was an article in the paper in the last month how the city of Green Bay was going to be applying for that certified.
Yeah.
And then it did mention in the same article that they kind of ranked us along with De Pere as being successful and having had
that. Them.
So that was nice.
That was nice. But I think that something has to be known so that people think, well, gee, that's something I may be interested in.
So do you learn things to try to get a gallery included?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Good. That was nice to see in the paper.
He keeps asking us questions on CLG status,
yeah,
and the intensive survey and how do you apply for all that.
Is he with the city?
He's on the city committee.
Oh.
He wants to apply for Green Bay to redo theirs.
That would be a huge project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My advice to him, because I know Mark is on another committee with Mark Storer, and if I were suggesting to him, and this is why because I've talked with him about this in the reconnaissance survey, and there's a difference. The reconnaissance, Green Bay is such a large area. The reconnaissance survey is something that can be done with a lot of volunteer work, whereas the intensive survey requires the expertise. So the windshield survey and the reconnaissance survey, the National Park Service says that stuff is really what the volunteer should be doing, and getting the general information and then turning that over to the experts who are going to finish up with the intensive stuff. So, you know, because the reconnaissance survey to do a whole city is very time consuming until you find out your little gems, your pearls. So,
would there be any way that we could do an article in the Green Bay paper recapping what is going on here in Elway?
Will there be a press release when the survey is complete?
Yeah. Well, and the guy that wrote that article that you were just talking about, Scott Williams, he had called me. Mm-hmm. So we played phone tape for a long time, and that's why they didn't have everything in there except that, because we never actually talked, that we had the CLG. He knew that, and that's one thing he got, but we never spoke about anything, so... yeah, I mean, we'll do a press release for that, and we could certainly touch base with him and see if you'd do an article specific.
Nice if we had certain projects in Elway that could get a printed coverage in the paper of their historical history. Two or three places, maybe, that could really be written up and enhanced, because that possibly would awaken other people in Elway about other potentials. Somehow we've got to get the word out there, and I don't see where the word is getting out now. It's fine to have a press release when this happens, you know, when the project is completed, but before, if we could somehow get some publicity from one or two of the sites here in Elway, would be just a great advantage. Oh, if we could get something in a Sunday paper.
Well, what I would suggest is, and you brought up Mark Storer in the city of Green Bay, the nice lending that we have was, there was an old fur trading property called the Greeno Farm, which runs through Greeno, half of which is in Alloway, half of which is in the city of Green Bay, and that has some of our oldest homes that are in need of the most repair. So that particular farm covers East River of Astor and into Alloway, and if there was one project where we could come together and work together on, it would be that area from the railroad tracks to Mason, from Webster Avenue to the East River. That's one very tangible area where we could work together with Brown County Historical Society, the City of Green Bay, and us, working together to solve a common problem. And if that area became designated as historic, the people with the bad basements get tax credits for fixing the bad basements, because there's a lot of bad basements over there. So once that area becomes historic, those bad basements can get fixed, and because you're preserving some of the older neighborhoods.
Somehow we have to give someone that has an in at the Press Gazette.
Maybe that's our next committee member.
Yeah.
Put that as
LinkedIn. Who's got LinkedIn profiles that can?
Yeah, that's connection.
Now that's something. The old chapel in the cemetery, that's an open door as far as tracing that back and putting that before the public, because many people in Elway don't think anything about going by that building or may not even be aware of that building, but that's another. You've got to get it out in the paper, and the Press Gazette has a hard time getting news sometimes.
Well, now Steve is
looking at something exciting every day.
So Steve has looked at that. So if we wanted to do a capital campaign to raise $100,000, because it's 70 to 100, what do you figure?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
You know, and that's basically fixing the foundation and the exterior, putting the new roof on. There's holes right through it, you know, fixing up the brickwork, new front doors and everything.
So that's our oldest cemetery. So, right. You know, that's one of the oldest cemetery in the state. So that is that's would be a very good tourist attraction for economic development. The historic nature of both cemeteries that we have, but a particular project would be restoration of that. It's a Catholic cemetery, unlike the, you know, both of them are private cemeteries. So you just have to be aware that, you know, fundraising that goes on. I don't think that the government can provide funding for, you know, the cemetery work, but they can provide some of the technical expertise, you know, on how to do it.
Before we start looking at fundraising on that, though, we still have to get a letter to the diocese to ask permission to fix it.
Correct. So yeah, you come up with a plan.
We do that first.
Well, they don't have the money to rip it down, so we're okay there. So, but that's it exactly. What they've asked Historic Galloway for is, what is your plan for it? And they said, as long as we don't have to pay for it, because that's no preserving that building is not part of their current mission.
Right.
So.
But they also kind of threw in all the headstones in the area of the chapel, too, and said, well, maybe we would let you fix it if you'd also take on the repair of the
stone.
It's kind of growing
nice
because
them?
Those
yeah.
families
yeah.
are no longer in the area, so they're kind of tacking on.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Who's out for who?
Well, how would you get equipment in there with all the headstones around there?
You can do it.
You can?
I looked at it all, yeah.
There's a little drive that goes right next to it.
And you can actually dig up and repair that foundation without disturbing, you know, because I went up there with my excavator and he could do it, yeah. So.
Your excavator, the man, or the excavator, the equipment?
The equipment. Well, he actually digs graves in Denmark, so he's real familiar with digging close to them.
Okay, because I would be rather apprehensive about knowing about the safety of that, because there is a grave close there that I would want to make sure that grave...
There's a few of them that are real close.
Yeah, that would be fully protected.
Right.
Because that's an important item.
Right.
Do we have to have a priest close by at the time of digging up?
Maybe. Just in case.
Or a deacon.
I'll ask where that letter is. I know there was a letter written, and we didn't think that it really was going to be what the diocese was looking for, so there was a new committee looking at a letter.
You know, it just slays me, because I can remember when the Kicklers Club was a bowling alley, and when it kills me that there aren't any pictures of that should play a part in what we're doing. Because when I called the Manders, they told me that True Values, the beauty shop on Webster, that is where Ted's Bar was. And Ted's Bar was a carriage shop, a gas station, and a bar. And that was all farmland from Frank and Kate Manders. And the farmhouse is no longer there, but the farmhouse was built on Delahut. And when the Kicklers started out, they had only six alleys, and then they extended it. And it blows my mind that there aren't any pictures, there isn't any documentation, because that's a big part of Elloway, and evidently this Frank Manders farm was a big farm in that part of Elloway.
Well, what you're talking about is that there's a lost history of the trolleys, and when we built the trolleys, the trolleys were built by the guys from Green Bay, from Alloway. When the trolleys were built, different business centers developed around the trolley stops. So,
what year was that?
Well, the trolleys were designed in the late 1890s. They were built 1900, and they went through the 1930s.
Do we have documentation of the trolleys?
Yes.
So Is that part of what we've turned in here?
No, because the trolleys are all gone. And that we're only doing the existing buildings. So the history, you know, we're not doing the history. We're
and
only doing
so much
the,
of a part of Alloway.
So we're only doing the existing buildings that are still here. So that,
well, but that takes care of True Values.
But there are some buildings along the way that are still that were still here, like the Village Hall and some of the buildings near the Water Tower, the Water Works building that was originally a Village Hall.
How about the buildings that got redid? You know, like the old Alloway Drugstore.
Uh huh.
That was
so those are worth taking a look at, because there's a lot going on right now. Right down in that area. So even though they're not going to be part of the survey, they should be documented. So if we have these different business centers, there's a couple different business centers.
Yeah, that's right.
Because when I was going through the list of the homes, and then I came across Jim Lurquin's house.
Oh, yeah.
My dad had built that house, and
Jim Lurquin from the drug store.
Yeah. Yeah.
His house, wasn't that on Wabener?
Yeah. It's kind of that contemporary.
Oh, that real one. Contemporary, yeah.
Yeah. Why not that real contemporary?
The one with the goofy angles, your dad built that one?
No.
Oh.
No. No.
No. Not that. Not the one on the corner that.
No. But this one is closer towards Broadview.
Broadview, yeah.
I heard you mention, Dr. Stoff, the next main story in the Historic Society newsletter, which should be going out this week, is about Dr. Stoff.
Oh, yes.
And shows the post.
Yeah, that's quite a story. Mm-hmm. I knew the Stoffs. Mm-hmm. Dr. Stoff. Yeah, I'll look forward to that story.
Some nice photos with it, too.
Yes. See, now that's a building that's disappeared.
Right, they tore it down when the church expanded.
Yeah.
His son used to sit behind me in grade school, and he trimming all my curls.
You know, that would have been nice to add to the story if we'd known that.
This is a rascal.
You didn't get it in tonight.
Who did that, Butch?
Is it Glenn's?
Oh, Glenn, yeah, there was Glenn and Butch, I think.
Glenn.
Well, I know because I talked to one of the staff girls, and she said that when that building was just not being taken care of, she said, I wish they would either take care of it or rip it down. It got ripped down.
Okay, so setting the next meeting date and agenda items.
April 24th would be the next meeting date.
April
24th.
We get to elect Barb.
What if somebody else wants it?
I think you're just perfect for me.
I'll bring my crown to pass.
Anything else with the grant or anything that we have to put on the agenda?
Not for next month. There won't be anything till late May or June.
Okay. And if there's nothing else, we could skip that meeting. We'll go to May. Unless there's something, I'm trying to think if there's anything else pressing.
What about the guardhouse rating?
Well, okay. I'll talk to Charles and find out if it's something that he's not looking at for another few years. We need to have a meeting just to discuss that. So I'll let you know, Tracy, when I let you know, Bobby.
Should we just keep the 24th, and then if something happens, there's not much, then we'll just cancel it.
We'll just cancel it. That sounds good.
Yeah. Just in case something else will pop up, then at least we got the date.
Yes, when you find out that the prison walls have been refurbished, you let us know right away.
Yeah.
And then the May meeting would be the 22nd, if that goes.
May 22nd?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's too close to Memorial Day, is it?
Probably before.
The week before, right? Mm-hmm. So that should be a problem.
Maybe Jennifer would have something by then.
Yeah, she might. Yeah.
So does anyone have any records when that Alloway drugstore was built? Was that originally built to be a drugstore?
I think so.
Yeah. When was that built? Back in the... The '50s or the '40s?
Anybody have that on their list? I had the southern part of Webster, so I had that bar was on there.
Mm-hmm. It was there when I was a little girl. We used to go into the soap fountain.
I know. I gotta miss that. You know, it was like, you know, it's that I think about, and I think of the old Woolworths downtown and the restaurant. What do you call
Holzer's
it?
Holzer's drugstore. Don't forget Holzer's drugstore.
Holzer's and
I know. I wish they'd still had all those buildings on Washington Street.
What a shame.
Cops and you know.
Cops.
That's
that really just blows my mind.
I know. It's just like.
Well, we got the cops' boots here in Holloway.
Yeah.
Which fit in very nice at the Village Grill. I love those boots.
Yeah. You know then. Then you look at when they ripped the old school down and they built CVS, and then you look at what Walgreens is looking at doing in De Pere, and it would be like, now that building would look really nice, you know.
CVS put those little posts up to satisfy the Elway, and I think they look like little pencils.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know,
they should have been bigger and more stately. And.
Which is actually a very good point, now that you've brought it up. there was a real... They went for hours and hours and hours in De Pere talking about the historic preservation versus the Main Street people, and it came down to facade. And so it was the look and feel and the scale of the buildings and how it feels, not so much, you know, that they needed to preserve the old stuff. They wanted the look and feel
of a community that's very walkable, which is kind of what we've got going on right now with, you know, the new gas station going up, and it's not perfect, but it's...
Where's the new gas station going up?
Well, they're just expanding the BP. So they're going to be tearing down the little shop in front, and they're moving it to the rear and redoing the expanding.
Well, I think
the
that
DAV.
Elway did so well when they put the when F&M Bank, is it F&M Bank on Webster? Is that the name of that bank?
The one next to the old village.
Across from Schrader's Floral.
Is that
F&M?
I don't think it's F&M.
Well, whatever bank that is.
Citizens, I think.
Whatever bank that is, they did beautifully because that is a attractive building, and it's a good entrance into Elway. But after that, things kind of fell on their face.
Well, I think that, you know, this is, because I'm very interested in the history, and I'm very interested in the economic development end of it. And this is the time to be looking at the area from the Webster Avenue Market all the way to Alloway Avenue to the CVS, because that's what the TIF district is all about. That's what we're going to be looking for guidance for. And just judging from what happened in De Pere, because I kind of followed it, because they're about 3 years ahead of us on just about everything.
Right.
Okay? You know, because which is okay, because I'd rather let them spend all the time and effort, and then we'll just kind of follow their lead. So that's a very good thing to do. And after going through the whole Walgreens thing, is it came down to they want good economic development, but they want it to be attractive. And Walgreens came back three different times, and every time they came back with something a little bit better.
Right.
So looking at what their final product looks like, we can say that's something that we can live with here in Alloway. And when we talk to developers, I wouldn't want to drag a developer through what those guys went through. But when we talk about what our facade should look like and what our zoning should look like, it shouldn't be nebulous. It should say, this is what we'd like to see. If you can build it, come on in, and this will get approved right away. Instead of bring us something and we'll let you know if we like it or not.
CVS came back many times.
I know.
And they still got the pencil post.
That's okay, but that's just opinion. And that in looking at it and looking at the banks and like Wells Fargo, Wells Fargo looks very similar to Heritage Hill. Okay, so that architecture. So if we tell people up front what facades we like and what things would be approved right away without any variance, that would help a developer, because we have land that's available for sale, but people don't want to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what we want. Just tell us what you want, and we'll see if we can do it.
That's hard for us to do because we don't really have a theme, per se, for the village. Where De Pere, they have their downtown area. And the guidelines in the zoning ordinance talk about different materials, but not a building style. They allow that flexibility. And I think that as long as they would meet the ordinance requirements, it would be really hard for us to deny a building and say, oh, we wanted a whole different look.
Well, that's exactly, you know, what people are afraid of doing is coming up with an idea. Because once somebody comes up with a use for a building site, they've already spent a lot of time deciding that's the site for them, and they don't want all of their research and work to go down the tubes because you don't like the aesthetics of the building. But likewise, as a village, we're saying that we have signage requirements and different things, and we should make it so that somebody looking at building on our vacant sites knows what the village wants, knows what the setbacks are. We talk about walkability, talk about all the different things that go into it, and that as long as you meet these requirements, you're good to go, and that we're not going to stop them.
But we do that now. We have the site plan review, and then if it comes in as a PDD, but we don't have, like, some areas have a PDD where they have a theme, you know, and everybody has the cute lights and the buildings all look similar. So, we don't really have, if somebody came in with a, we don't have enough open land area to do a big PDD where we would have a brand new development like that. So I think the developers are aware of the requirements, but they just aren't so specific.
Right.
So,
yeah. difficult to work on. Yeah. I did bring just, you know, this came as kind of an interesting magazine if anyone wants to take it, and then here's the last few months of the Alliance if anybody wants to take it. There's always good articles and information on there, so if you want to take some, feel free.
Motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Steve, second? Going once, going twice?
Aye.
Josh, thank you. All
in favor?
Nobody
wants to go.
Thank you.
So we'll let you know about the 24th if we need it. If not, we'll go for the 22nd.
Did you get any more information on that conference?
When
that
the Midwest Communications Building came into the
27th, I mean?
And it was
Saturday,
fairly strict
about
development guidelines. It was
there was anything about
fees? It was designed by
I'll have to look. I got an email on
that. And
right?
They shot it down.
We got one a while ago, but
yeah.
She can't
that,
figure out
told
what time and
the commission was
an all-day thing.
They really couldn't do that.
I think it is an all-day thing.
Even if it doesn't fit with the theme, because there really isn't a theme, you can't deny
they
it.
Said
I'm lucky that there wasn't a lawsuit.
So
I think that there
coming
could
up,
have been,
she can't find it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just didn't
I'll look and see what I got and see what's out there, because I did get an email in regard to that.
And because these two are outside my expertise.
Happy Easter.
Okay.
Happy Easter.
Just starting to feel like spring.
I know, finally.
I know, it's nice. I've been
working on science.